This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
High-level debt talks resume as the clock continues to tick.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. It is back to negotiations for the White House and Republican leaders in a quest to find some common ground on raising the federal debt limit. And while the discussions are dominating Washington, the issues they raise will ripple around the world. The Treasury Department says the U.S. will default if a deal isn't done in the next few weeks. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is live with us with more on that. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Steve.
Anything new in those talks?
Well, last month when Republicans left the talks, it seemed any increase in tax revenue was totally off the table for them. Serious restructuring of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security seemed to be a no-go for most Democrats. Now, Republican House Majority Leader Eric Cantor is saying cutting corporate tax breaks and loopholes, which is something the president's been railing about, could be back on the table as long as there are other tax cuts. The White House, meanwhile, is opening the door to changes to Medicare and even Social Security to slow down their cost rise over time. All told, it could amount to a grand tax-raising and deficit-cutting deal.
How are these talks playing overseas, Mitchell?
Well, investors are starting to pay attention, especially with the debt ceiling of August 2nd deadline looming. Jan Randolph follows sovereign risk, that's basically government debt, at IHS Global Insight in London. I asked him how all the politicking here in the U.S. over raising the debt ceiling looks in Europe, given all the recent turmoil they've had over Greek debt.
One could expect debate and disagreement from 27 governments in the European Union, but we don't really expect it from one government in the U.S.
And Randolph says investors will probably get more jittery if this goes down to the wire, and there's still no deal to raise the debt ceiling by later this month.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reporting. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Reports today say low-cost carrier AirAsia could soon buy 300 commercial aircraft from Airbus. It would be the biggest airline order ever. And yet another sign the aviation industry is focusing on Asia. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz is in Shanghai.
Ordering 300 planes, each seating 150 passengers, at a time of high oil prices and an uncertain global economy might seem a little crazy. Not if you look at what's happening in Asia, says analyst Kunal Sinha.
It has become the biggest market. Everybody's betting on this market. So you need to have that fleet to really capitalize on that growth, which is going to happen.
Asia's sudden boom of discount airlines reminds Sinha of the rise of Southwest, JetBlue, and the European low-cost carrier Ryanair more than a decade ago. Except what's happening in Asia, Sinha says, is going to be bigger. One reason, as it stands now, Southeast Asian carriers need to ask for approval to start a new route. That policy is coming to an end in 2015. The other reason? Oh, just the 214 million new air passengers expected from China's growing middle class over the next 3 years. People who, up to now, weren't able to afford a plane ticket. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Shares in Europe are higher despite reports the central bank there will announce an interest rate hike. Rupert Murdoch's News Corp stock is down another 3% today after more companies are pulling ads from his British newspaper. That's after a big phone hacking scandal keeps getting bigger. Yesterday, the Dow added 56 points to close at 12,626.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
A study out today in the journal Health Affairs gives a side-by-side comparison of how states spend money on Medicaid, the government health insurance program for the poor. From the health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Gregory Warner tells the tale of two populous states.
So, which state do you think spends more per Medicaid patient, New York or California? Okay, time's up.
New York.
Todd Gilmer is a health economist at UC San Diego and author of today's study in health affairs. He says New York State spends 2.5 times as much, and one reason is price. The average cost of one night in a New York hospital for an adult on Medicaid is $2,100. In California, it's $1,320.
One of the reasons California spends less is they negotiate more actively with hospitals that have lower payment rates than New York.
And Gilmer says that when hospitals are paid more, they admit more patients and keep them there longer.
And that seems to be what's happening in New York. I would question whether or not New Yorkers are better off being hospitalized at a greater rate than Californians.
Hospitalization is the biggest single chunk of Medicaid spending, which makes Gilmer's next finding especially interesting. States with more primary care physicians sent fewer people to the hospital. Again, New York, not so good in this department.
New York has fewer independent primary care physicians participating in the Medicaid program.
Because as generous as New York is in paying hospitals, its compensation rates for primary care physicians are near the lowest in the country. That means more New Yorkers head for a hospital instead of a doctor's office. Of course, Gilmer's study finds that there are lots of factors that influence how Medicaid is spent from state to state. He argues, though, that most states could make a dent in hospital costs by paying primary care physicians more.
That's a really encouraging finding.
Marcia Gold is a senior fellow at the healthcare research group Mathematica. She says the healthcare reform law will raise primary care payments in 2014.
That's the hope, that if you can encourage more primary care, there might be long-term savings.
And that'll be particularly important in 2014 when Medicaid expands its eligibility requirements to allow another 17 million Americans to enroll. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
A state-by-state look is at marketplace.org. And finally, Prince William and his new wife, Kate, will be in Southern California this weekend. William will play in a charity polo match Saturday in Santa Barbara. The Los Angeles Times reports William had a high-profile Beverly Hills plastic surgeon on retainer in case of accident. Well, turns out the polo club is in charge of medical help. And besides, the doctor said he didn't expect any broken bones at a charity event with royalty present. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
High school kids and parents thereof, listen up. You ever wanted to work for the CIA, the FBI, maybe?
Those students need to be aware that if you want to make more money, then you have to have the type of lifestyle that will allow you to get a clearance.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Security Clearance 101, next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.